Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, and universal healing energies that support our physical life, encouraging a better understanding of our multidimensional lives. Today, I happily welcome Deborah Sauce, author of Connecting in the Land of Dementia, a condition that is a fast-growing health issue of modern times. And Deborah, in her book, offers very practical, useful, extensive resources and plans that show caretakers how to make life better for the caretaker and for the patient while living actively with this health challenge. Hello, Deborah, and thank you for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here, Cheryl, and I love your description of what I'm trying to do. You really captured it. Thank you.
All right, Deborah, as guests of Healing From Within have come to expect, each show features authors and leaders who have awakened to the many possibilities provided by knowing the world through intuition and the many layers of our lives that ultimately lead us to the truth of our complete humanity and soul life. There are many paths to finding out more about the complexities of our human and spiritual essence, but none are the only way or right way. And as long as we continue to seek happiness and well-being, no matter the challenge, the human spirit triumphs. In today's show, Deborah Sauce, a writer, speaker, editor, and dementia advocate, shares her months of her personal journey with her mother, who had dementia, and her realization that caring for someone with dementia required enormous creativity, letting go of the past, and embracing life as it is now. In wishing to help those who are challenged by dementia, we can recognize that incorporating innovative thinking into the caretaking journey may make all the difference in how well your loved one experiences life at that time and how much you are both able to grow and embrace responsibilities with a fresh perspective and newfound love. And isn't that what we're looking for? Always looking for the best and the most love in any situation rather than the negative. I always love to ask my guests to think back to childhood. So, Deborah, please think back. Please take a moment. Think back to a person, a place, an event, an experience that may have been valuable to you and may have been a precursor to the book you wrote, to the work or life you embrace now as an adult, to your experience with your mother in your childhood?
Well, what a beautiful question. And the first person who came into my mind was my grandmother, who I didn't see very often. But when I saw her, she had such great joy in her eyes and her hands and her heart to see me. And I felt like she was the person in my life who loved me unconditionally. And so I got and my parents loved me, but it was different because they were worrying over me and trying to take care of me. But this love from my grandmother was very strong and special. And it gave me a sense of what that can feel like and how that transcends any barriers you have. And, you know, when you said destiny, years later, when I was with my mother and she was in a more advanced stage of dementia, I had an experience with her that was very profound. She was sitting on her bed in a memory care unit, and I came in, and she was dozing, and I managed to get her attention and make her laugh a little bit. And then we just gazed into each other's eyes. We held hands. We gazed into each other's eyes for about 20 minutes. My mother and I had never done that in our more rational lives together. But it was like this soul connection that I felt, and I feel my mother felt, and was very deep. And I feel so lucky I got to have that with her.
It's absolutely beautiful. And what I heard and felt, I'm an intuitive and a medium. What I heard and felt when you were talking was the love running through you from your grandmother that probably enabled you to deal in a more loving way with your mother through her challenge and to recognize that that moment that you had was much more than you had had when things were just sort of ordinary and regular and going along. Because sometimes we need these, really, these severe challenges to bring us to another level of remembering that we are more than the physical and that the soul is always the same. Your mother, through her dementia, within her soul, her memories, everything she had gathered in this life, were going to go with her. And for a moment, you might have felt that in that connection with her, which is very beautiful.
It is. I very strongly felt that. And that's one of the things that really inspired me to write this, my latest book, Connecting in the Land of Dementia, Creative Activities to Explore Together. Because we're very afraid, so many of us, of losing our rational minds and our ordinary ways of communicating with people. And it is scary, and it is difficult. I don't deny that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I learned and felt over and again as I was interviewing dozens of experts in the field of creativity and dementia was that creativity and imagination can flourish even after the rational mind isn't functioning as well. So there are so many ways to connect as long as we are able, as you so beautifully stated in your introduction, to let go of our old relationship and to embrace the person we love or we're caring for exactly as they are. And essentially, that's what we all want.
We want people
to accept us as we are and not try to change us and make us better at math or science when we're, you know, a word person. And so it's what every person wants, and that was a deepening of my understanding as I worked on this book, is that we're all the same. We all want a meaningful, purposeful life. We all want deep connections and to love and be loved. And we all want to continue to learn and create. And that doesn't stop just because a person is living with a memory impairment.
Of course not, or any disability. So let's go on to Alzheimer's disease and dementia are often used interchangeably. So many people believe that one means the other. But in fact, the distinction between the two diseases, which causes confusion on the behalf of patients and families and caretakers, there's a great deal of confusion. So in your estimation, what is dementia and what is Alzheimer's? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I can. Dementia is an umbrella term that covers a variety of different cognitive impairments. So if you walked into an ice cream parlor, dementia would be ice cream and Alzheimer's would be chocolate. And there's a variety of kinds of, as I said, memory impairments. A great place to learn more about those is from the website of the Alzheimer's Association or the website of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America.
Well, I have a fact here that our listeners might like to know. Right now, at this present time, 5 million Americans are living with dementia, and they are cared for by more than 15 million unpaid caretakers and by thousands of healthcare professionals and support teams. According to the World Alzheimer's Report, by the year 2030, there'll be over 74 million people who will be living with dementia under that umbrella that you said. And that's a lot of people. There is no cure, but as always, I'm going to say there is much hope and many ways to stay connected and creative and honor the spirit, reminding us that we all can make a difference. You say in the book, we can make a difference through creativity, one painting, one smile, one song, one shared experience. And And that is the truth.
One of the things I love about what you just said, Cheryl, is making a difference. And a very easy way to do that is simply by staying connected with a person you know or who's in your family who is living with dementia. One thing that often happens is people lose their friends when they receive a diagnosis of dementia because people feel awkward or confused, or they don't know how to connect anymore. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to write my book, is because there's so many activities in this book that you can bring with you as something to do, a kind of a catalyst for the visit to start the connecting process. I'm using some of these activities with friends who are living with dementia. One friend who is in another state, who, you know, I can't see when I'm talking to her. We are reciting poetry back and forth together using call and response. And so there's so many different ways that you can stay connected. And I think the more comfortable people feel and the more tools they have.
Yeah, that is correct. The tools, you can give, you are giving them the tools in this book. And it's very, many people just throw their hands up. They don't know what to do. They're frightened to make mistakes, and they don't want to say the wrong thing. And there's lots of misconceptions about what it's like to connect with someone who's living with dementia. Let's talk about that for a minute, the many misconceptions that there may be. So you've shared this with your mother. By the way, how long can dementia go on for? From the time it's first diagnosed until it gets to the advanced stages. I know it's different for each person.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It's very individualized, but a range would be 7 to 10 years, although people can live on beyond that, or some people have a very brief time with dementia. So, but I'd say an average is 7 to 10 years. So you have a lot of opportunities to explore different ways to stay connected as people's interests and abilities change. One of the things that I was really fascinated by, and we did this with my mom, is trying to help a person stay connected with the things they love in life. So if a person's hobbies include golf. My friend Mara Botonis, who wrote a book called When Caring Takes Courage, talked to me about her grandfather and how she was determined he would stay with his golf game as long as possible. So for a while he was able to go out and his friends took him, and when that he could no longer do that, she rode him around in a golf court. Right after the lawn had been mowed and he could smell it. And then they set up a putting green inside. And then they watched golf tournaments together. And then he sorted golf balls. So, again, it's a creative process of figuring out what is important to this person about this activity. For people who are gardeners, and that's a very spiritual thing, being out in nature for many people, what do they love about gardening? Is it touching the soil? Is it harvesting the plants? Is it, you know, snipping off flowers and arranging them and trying to keep that with them for as long as possible by adapting it?
Absolutely. You have to know the person, and you have to give some thought to the activities that they would like, not necessarily what you might like because you're comfortable with it, but try to bring and keep them involved in things that brought them joy and that will continue to bring them joy. But for those who spiritually believe we are having the experience we need to resolve karma and refine our inner energetic essence or soul, we can come to assume that perhaps the disease a person has or the way they pass is something their soul chose because it would bring about an experience and great learning for themselves and others in their life. Now, that is a good way, in a way, to look at any challenge we have. It's not random, and it has purpose, and it brings the reward of continuous evolution or growth for our soul. So I think that's a misconception. People want to look for reasons that someone gets sick, and it really doesn't matter. I don't think it really matters. I think it's just an experience that the soul chose to have. So that might have been another misconception that people have.
I want to comment on that because I really appreciate what you just said. And when you use the word growth, a couple things floated into my mind of the artistic abilities that sometimes blossom in people who are living with dementia. These can be people who didn't have the opportunity to even touch a paintbrush in their earlier years, who are now painting wonderful pictures. Poets. There's a wonderful poet named John Killig from England who leads poetry writing workshops specifically for people living with dementia. They have great poetic hearts, and there are some beautiful, insightful poems he has collected through doing this poetry writing in a group. So it's a chance for many people to really explore their creative side when sometimes they haven't had a chance to do that in earlier times.
Well, again, that's seeing the positive that can come out of any situation if we only look for it. And maybe we don't even have to look for it. We just
Yes.
have to observe it as it's happening. But what did you learn from talking to some of the experts that you mention in your book?
I learned so much. I mean, part of what I learned is just the humanity of all of us, how we are all so connected and there's no separation. The things I want and yearn for won't change should I have an impairment. And so that was really powerful for me. I knew it, but I got it on a deeper level. But one simple thing I learned that was so much fun was from Dr. Madan Kataria, who is the founder of Laughter Yoga. And I was so lucky to interview him via Skype from his office in Mumbai, India. And when I asked him, "Dr. Kataria, what inspired you to create laughter yoga?" He said, "Well, Deborah, before I tell you that, do you know the ha-ha chorus?" And I said, "No, Dr. Kataria, I don't." And he says, "Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha." And I did exactly what you just did. And so what he studied is that real laughter and fake laughter are just as powerful on the body, on the body's abilities to boost the immune system, to restore energy, to increase socialization. And so this laughing, adding laughing into your day is a really simple way that care partners and friends can boost their own energy and those of the people they are with. And even if the people who are living with dementia don't laugh right away, being in the presence of laughter is very relaxing and healing.
Yeah, they're laughing within. They don't have to express it
Yes, that's
necessarily,
right. That's
but their
right.
soul will appreciate what you're doing. Now, I actually took a class like that, so I know it tickled my fancy to think of it just now when you said that, and I
Oh,
haven't thought
wonderful.
about it a while. But you also mentioned somebody in the book who I thought was very interesting, Laura Beck, who firsthand observed the wonders of creativity and dementia. And I believe she had a father who had dementia. And the surprising thing is that she said, once you recognize your own fears about dementia and aging, many people have a great deal of fear
Yeah.
about this,
Yes.
you feel stronger. And the story that she told was her father was in bed chanting like a shaman or warrior. And she began to engage him and also chant, saying, "I hear you." And later she realized her dad purposely brought her into the present and was inviting her to play like you might do with a child. That's where he was at, but he wanted her to join in. And she found that to be a very connected moment, one probably that she might have never had with him. So every moment that we're both a recipient and a giver is very, very important. And I said something to about that in my book, The Living Spirit, when I wrote what responds to that thought of our interconnectedness and the beauty of being able to give and receive love. And I wrote this. In the physical world, it is hard for most people to show love for each other without wanting or needing something in return. However, this is egocentric thinking. Indeed, I have learned as a result of deep meditation practices and the messages received from spirit, that the giving and receiving of love is the major reason a soul welcomes a physical life. In one way or another, all interconnection revolve on being able to extend past fear and the fear of losing love, so we can be more loving regardless of how the other person responds. The giving of love may not necessarily include grand gestures. Rather, it is communicated through glances, words, music, undivided attention and concern, and the time invested in others. Earlier we were talking about that. You were talking about the glance in your mother's eyes.
That's right. That's right. And that is so beautifully said, Cheryl, and you're so right. I mean, this journey is about love. My first book was called Love in the Land of Dimension. It's the story of my mother and I and my father staying connected. And that love stays there throughout. And most people who have the honor of getting to be with their loved ones during the dementia journey have an experience of a deepened love and a deepened sense of living in the present and developing gratitude for what they have now. And you have to go through a grieving process, many of us, to do that, you know, because there is a loss of the familiar.
Yes.
But to retain that love, and that was one of the vows I made for myself when I got past my grieving process, is I want to stay connected with my mom throughout her life and look for the hope and the blessings. And my second book is an extension of that. And as you said earlier in our conversation, the activities are good for anyone to do. They happen to be targeted towards people living with dementia and the care partners. They are to do together, because one of the things with being a care partner is you are often so responsible and so caring for your person that you forget to take care of yourself. And we all need creativity. The expressive arts help us reduce cognitive impairments. And so the more we can douse ourselves with art, and you mentioned music and the beautiful thing you wrote, and gardening and cooking together, the happier and healthier everyone is.
Every family. You need this with your children. You need this with your friends. You need this with any person with any disability or healthy people. We need to find ways for better communication, connection, and simply to find more humor in life, even in the challenging times. So I want to thank you, Deborah Schaus, for sharing a detailed, helpful look at a very challenging health issue facing so many families today, and for offering a positive, loving, creative way to continue to value and connect to loved ones regardless of changes in their mental functioning. To find more about creative ways to explore life, you can go to Deborah's blog, dementiajourney.org, and to purchase the book, Connecting in the Land of Dementia, you can go to Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have taken a look at making connections with loved ones living with dementia, but also have recognized the suggestions and practical skills Deborah Schaus expresses as ways for making better connections with other people in our lives are very valuable. Perhaps creativity and thoughtfulness and love are the best approach to reaching the hearts or souls of others, not only those living with dementia. Deborah suggests that music is a way people connect to their fears and their most pleasant remembrances, and suggests people with dementia and cognitive issues connect through rhythmic activities, using percussion instruments, chanting, and movement, like the father we talked about who was pretending to be a shaman and wanted to chant and brought his daughter to do it with him. Deborah tells us about Marlon Sobel, a music specialist who writes, "Even when people have memory issues, their lives still have rhythm. Their heartbeat, breathing, and walking are rhythmic. Their daily schedules typically have a regular cadence. Rhythmic movements boost communication, reduce anxiety, improve mood, and enhance motor skills. They offer a safe way to express emotions and create music. What could be better than living life with successful improvements to our health and well-being and expressing more of our gratitude for being alive? That is the goal of caretakers of those suffering with dementia, or indeed any of us seeking to live in a happy and positive state of mind and being. Deborah and I would like our listeners to remember that whatever challenges cross your doorstep, embrace the opportunity to find the courage within your soul and simply do the best you can to help yourself and those you care for. Find the silver lining in their challenge and still remain positive and appreciative of life. No one can or has to do more." I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, author of The Living Spirit, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors discuss many different ways to find a greater truth about our life force, the meaning of life, and how to creatively and lovingly find the means to live a healthier and more successful life experience. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvisions7radio.com. Thank you.